Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a meme that occasionally floats around the Christian internet. The Apostle Paul had written a letter to the Americans. Boy, where the hell do I start with you all? Of course, the letter that those folks are thinking of is the letter to the 1 Corinthians. When you read through that letter and everything that Paul addresses in it, you might wonder to what extent they were Christian at all. He starts out addressing divisions within the church, which sounds like everyone has gone their own way. Paul defends his apostolic authority as stewards of the mysteries of God. That phrase meaning the official teachings and practices of the church. He takes them to task for sexual immorality and such that even makes the pagans blush. And then also for their tendency to sue each other in civil court. He had to instruct them on how to leave the idols behind. To stop getting drunk while celebrating the Lord's Supper. To stop chasing after flashy spiritual gifts at the expense of love and making a complete hash of their worship. If you were to take 30 minutes one afternoon and just read it straight through, you'd feel the heat. I think we tend to have a problem of thinking of Scripture as a form of that plaster saint. Paul, across 2,000 years, is a living, breathing, sometimes hyperventilating, sometimes bleeding writer. And after blistering the Corinthians for 14 chapters, he just stops. He decides he needs to go back to the start. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word preached, unless you have believed in vain. After everything that has come in the preceding 14 chapters, it's this amazing invitation of grace. Yes, he goes all the way back to the beginning. More on that in a second. But after everything that Paul takes them to task for, the apostle reminds them that you received this. You had this good news. It was yours. And then he changes the tense. Not only was it yours, but it is yours. You stand today in this good news. And then he changes the tense again. You are being saved. You are now saved, and you will continue to be saved in this good news. The proclamation and the promise are good. God is faithful. God is faithful to you. He's faithful. If you hold fast to the word preached, unless your faith is in vain. And I think his next two paragraphs expand on those two thoughts. First, what is that word preached? For I delivered to you. Paul didn't make it up. The apostles did not invent this, but they received it. They witnessed it. They passed it on exactly like it was given to them. And that is the real apostolic succession. That's the real rock that Jesus would build his church upon. The living stones of those who had received it and witnessed it and witnessed it and passed it on and delivered it. From Cephas to the 12 to the more than 500 to James and all the apostles and last of all to Paul. And it's that witness that comes down to us today. I preach what I have received. And whether it is Peter or Paul or the humblest preacher, so we preach and so you have believed. And what is that core proclamation that we have to hold fast to? Christ died for our sins. In accordance with the scriptures. And he was buried. And that he was raised up on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's the good news. Right now, your sins are forgiven. All of the promises of those scriptures are yours today. Because today is that day of grace. How do we know this? Christ is risen. Promises of God have been given to all of us in the scriptures. God made them known in advance, and they have been fulfilled in Christ on that cross and in that resurrection morning. Now, there's still a now and not yet to this. Now we have the forgiveness of sins, even if we often have to deal with the effects of sin in this world. Now we still see death at work. But we have also seen the resurrection. Not yet do we have that resurrection body. But Christ is risen. And we too, if we hold fast, will have that body. So what are the ways that we might believe in vain? First, if you're here today but do not believe that proclamation that Christ is risen, why are you here? If Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? We do not become angels, as popular sayings might have it. We are not recycled. Brahman doesn't rejoin Atman. Nor do we cross the river Lethe and return in a never-ending cycle. Because Christ is risen. There is a resurrection of the dead. And not some pale thing, but a bodily resurrection. He came out of the tomb, and everybody could recognize who he was. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's the Christian hope. And if you don't believe that, your faith is in vain. Your faith is in vain if the resurrection is not proof that your sins are forgiven. If you're still dragging those things around against yourself, your faith is in vain. If you're refusing to forgive a repentant brother or sister, your faith is in vain. Because we acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We have been buried with Christ in that baptism, and Christ has been raised without all those sins. Your sins are forgiven. Live like it. Your faith is in vain if you have no hope for those who have fallen asleep. If they have perished in Christ, they are with Christ and will return with Christ. Because death has been defeated. He will come again with glory, with all his saints, to judge the living and the dead. And that kingdom will have no end. And your faith is in vain if it's only for the not yet. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are something the opposite of those pagans that Paul was preaching to. They hoped in, they sacrificed to the gods because they expected something now. Notice that Paul doesn't deny them this. If in this life only we hope in Christ, our great hope is that resurrection. And that hope, for us, I think, has eclipsed the now. We so look forward to the golden Jerusalem that we miss what we have now. But there is a now. You have the forgiveness of sin. You have the communion of the saints. You have peace with God who hears your prayers. You have the grace he gives you in the sacraments. You have the living word. You have the Spirit and all his gifts. Your faith is in vain if it is only for that not yet, and you don't grab hold of it now. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits. This is the fact proclaimed. This is the promised word that we hold fast to. This is what makes it real and not in vain. Because Christ is risen, the first fruits. And while for a while our lives might be hidden with Christ, there comes a day when they will be revealed. The entire creation groans, awaiting for that revelation. Like the seed that falls to the ground and dies, it bears much fruit. Christ was buried, and risen as the first fruit. And he bears much fruit right down to today. And you are part of that harvest. If you hold fast to the word preached, and your faith is not in vain. Amen.